Trivivarki kaste purusha. Vimukha hari medasaha. Katayam katayan. Katayan katan iyoru. Vikramasya madhudvishaha. Trivargika, interested in the three elevating processes. Those. Purushaha, persons. Vimukaha, not interested. Harimedasaha, of Lord Hari. Katayam, in the pastimes. Kataniya, worth chanting of. Uruvikramasya, whose excellent prowess. Madhudvishaha, the killer of the Madhu demons. Translation. Persons who are too addicted to this material world execute their prescribed duties very nicely and with great faith. They daily perform all such prescribed duties with attachment to the fruit of result. Such persons, impelled by the mode of passion, are full of anxieties and always aspire for sense gratification due to uncontrolled senses. They worship the forefathers and are busy day and night improving the economic condition of their family, social or national life. Such persons are called Trivargika because they are interested in the three elevating processes. They are versed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can give relief to the conditioned soul. They are not interested in the Supreme Personality's pastimes, which are worth hearing because of his transcendental prowess. Purport. According to Vedic thought, there are four elevating principles, namely religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Persons who are simply interested in material enjoyment make plans to execute prescribed duties. They are interested in the three elevating processes of religious rituals, economic elevation, and sense enjoyment. By developing their economic condition, they can enjoy material life. Materialistic persons, therefore, are interested in those elevating processes, which are called Trivargika. Tri means three, Vargika means elevating processes. Such materialistic persons are never attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, they are antagonistic towards Him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is here described as Harimedaha, or He who can deliver one from the cycle of birth and death. Materialistic persons are never interested in hearing about the marvelous pastimes of the Lord. They think that they are fictitious and stories, and that the Supreme Godhead is also a man of material nature. They are not fit for advancing in devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Such materialistic persons are interested in newspaper stories, novels, and imaginary dramas. The factual activities of the Lord, such as Lord Krishna's acting in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, or the pastimes of the Pandavas, or the Lord's activities in Vrindavan or Dwarka, are related in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which are full of the activities of the Lord. But materialistic persons who engage in elevating their position in the material world are not interested in such activities of the Lord. They may be interested in the activities of a great politician or a great rich man of this world, but they are not interested in the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. So, here now we're getting into some, you know, finer points, finer details about how to get out of the entanglement of fruit of activities. Because Kapila Muni has been describing how, by the performance of your duties, where you understand its connection to the Supreme Lord, then one can be freed from the material world, right? And establish oneself in the proper position. But we're also now getting two aspects of warning in the performance of this process, how we should be careful. One is that in the performance of the duties, even with proper knowledge, proper understanding, that, and the element of naishkarmya, that one can free oneself or liberate oneself from the material world, as evidence is given. Previous verses that Lord Brahma, Marichi, Sanat Kumar, these great personalities, they actually become liberated at the end of the universe. And they attain Mahavishnu. But having obtained him, then when the recreation happens, again they come back in the material world. Because in performance of these activities of self-realization, they didn't keep the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his personal pastimes as the focus. Right? That was not their purpose. They're advanced, they're elevated, they're interested in liberation. They're interested in their position of how great it is. They're connecting themselves with the Lord, but they're making too much of a mistake on focusing on this more than on the Lord's pastimes. So they do, even though they attain liberation, they do not go back to Godhead. And then in this verse, then it's here, the dutiful grihastha, he's performing all his duties well. But he's focusing on the other side. The one was focusing more on liberation. Now here this group is focusing on the Trivargika, that they're interested in dharma, artha, and kama. So they're performing their duties very well. They're very pious. They're good. Everything is going nice here. There is nothing materially wrong to say about these people. We're not talking here about dirty, smelly, stinky karmis. Right? We're talking here about extremely pious, religious, following the scriptures, doing everything properly. And they're going to be bound because their only interest is in the proper forms of duties. So their personal motive is more gross. Right? They want to be religious, further their religious and social position, further their economics so they can further their sense gratification. And these are really dutiful, doing their job, taking care of the family perfectly. Nobody's going to have any complaints. So that doesn't make it. And neither does great sages who are so absorbed in the process of transcendence that they don't establish themselves in the pastime of being absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord. So we see, if the folk is overly focused on dharma, artha, kama, or moksha, it's not going to work. You're not going to go back to Godhead. Right? So it's given two examples. Right? So we don't even have to give an example of someone who's not pious and who doesn't follow the Vedic culture. You know, that we're not talking about. This is not something of discussion. Right? It's just like if you're talking about some big sports or stuff like that. You know, you're not talking about some kids out in the backyard kicking around a balloon and that. You know, we're talking about, you know, international, you know, quality here. So therefore, people who don't understand liberation, don't understand prescribed duties, are not following them. They don't even come in the discussion, so you don't even have to worry about them. We're talking here about very pious and religious people, right? So right there, that cuts out everybody on the material platform. Someone who's very religious, someone who's very moralistic, someone who's very expert in his economics, someone who's very just, right? Someone who has all facilities, has provided all facilities. Someone who is seeing everything in the way of naishkarmya, that they're not interested in anything of this world. All of these people will not go back to Godhead. The only one that goes back to Godhead is someone who in practicing any of this or any combination of this, but the focus is on the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a person in his pastimes with his devotees, that person goes back to Godhead. Right? So it's a very big science. We can say, yes, yes, someone who absorbs themselves in Krishna, he'll go back to Godhead, and someone who doesn't, won't. That's the principle. And we've heard it a million times. But the Bhagavatam, just to make sure, it doesn't just present it in that nice, pleasant way. Now it's getting down to detail. Lord Brahma is not going back to Godhead. Sanat Kumara is not going back to Godhead. Right? And neither is the super nice, perfectly doing everything, taking everything, the ideal and perfect example in the community. They're not going back to Godhead. Why? Because those activities are their main focus rather than Krishna. This is the Bhagavatam. Get down and every last little bit gets out. Right? The Gundicha Marjan, then Lord Chaitanya showed the example. First you go through and all the big, you know, rocks and sticks and obvious, all the big dirt and everything, that's all cleaned out first. So that's the first cleaning. That's just all the obvious stuff. Then the subtle cleaning, where you get in and they take little twigs and get into all the dust between the cracks and the stones and everything like that. And then once that's done, wash it with water. So then it's clean, like the mind of the pure devotee. That's the second. So if we only focus on this first, it's not going to work. You know, I'm a good devotee, I do everything nicely, I'm Pakka, I do this, I do that. That's nice, but why are you doing that? Otherwise, why would you mention it? Do the Goswamis sit around going, well, I'm a great devotee, you know, I chant 64 rounds. Hey, I don't even sleep at night. And Bhugarbha Goswami, I never sleep any time, you know. You guys sleep 2 hours now and again, but I never sleep, you know. Do they sit around doing that? So that's why they, you know, are coming from the spiritual world. Right? So this is the point. It's not to scare anyone. It's not to make one feel, oh, it's impossible. It's simply to make one feel serious about it, sober about it. Look at it seriously, is that the emphasis in one's life has to be Krishna. Then, according to one's position, then whatever works for you to connect your life to Krishna, then that is in support of that. Right? Always remember Krishna is the predominant. Never forget him is the subordinate. So the element of never forgetting him by one's absorption in the material world, that's subordinate to always remember Krishna. Right? Therefore Krishna makes this point that all these processes of self-realization are there, that you can connect everything to him, but still he as a person performing his pastimes with his devotees is still separate from that. Right? So that's the point, is that if one's not interested in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, then there's going to be a problem. Right? Just focusing on the process that my sadhana is good, my chanting is good, I'm being detached, I'm doing all the things right, that's good, but it's not good enough. It has to come to the point where you go, that is in place, and then beyond that, one is absorbed in the Lord's pastimes. Right? That has to be something important to you. Something that's important. We see, probably in the very beginning, gives Bhagavad Gita, right? So that you understand the process of self-realization. Gives the nectar of devotion, so you understand how that's all engaged in the devotion and the Krishna book. So that one can absorb oneself in Krishna's pastimes. So we can see here by the Acharya what the emphasis is. Any questions on this? Yes. It's very easy. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So question is on that Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness as easy, chanting, dancing, taking prasad. But then as time went, he also brought out the element that Krishna consciousness is like a razor's edge. One has to be very careful. And so then we like to, you know, see it in that simple way. You know, so if somebody, if devotee leaves their body, we want to, you know, we would like to think they've gone back to Godhead. Because then it keeps everything simple, and it also gives us a more of a chance, right? You know, like that. Well, if they went, surely I can go, right? You know, like that, you know. So, and then we also see devotees, you know, who are not necessarily practicing so strictly. At some point they come to the temple, like the last couple of weeks or that, and then, you know, they recognize Prabhupada and everything like that. So the point is it is that simple, but it is also that complex. Prabhupada mentions that the simple, it's very simple, the process, but the elaborations on its detail is unlimited, like that. So it's a matter of chanting, dancing, and taking bishad. If that's all you do, then that's fine. If that's your absorption, then it's fine. But if you're going to do things other than that, that's when you have to be a little bit more careful, right? You know, so in it, but we see as the main point is Krishna the purpose, the goal. So you mentioned about those devotees leaving and then recognizing Prabhupada, but what was their reaction when they saw Prabhupada? They were excited, they were happy, they were relieved. So what does that mean? That means the personal element is the more important aspect. So that's why they're successful. You know, in other words, if it comes between this process of self-realization and Krishna as a person, which are you more interested in? So Brahma, Sanat Kumar, Marichi, they're more interested in the process of elevation, you know, for this spiritual aspect, not Krishna. That's why they fail. But because it's there and it's nice karma, it's in connection with the Lord, but what Lord is it in connection with? Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Kirodakshaya Vishnu. Right? That's when you're dealing with the universal form, your attraction to things, anything, is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Your attachment to anything is Kirodakshaya Vishnu. Because you're going to work when you're attached, and that's done under the direction of Paramatma. But now when the world is dissolved, then there is no manifestation of Garbhodakshaya or Kirodakshaya Vishnu. So that leaves Mahavishnu, who is the source of both. So then you go back to that personality that you're absorbed in. So they are absorbed in the Lord, but only on this level. So as previous verses explained, that when you obtain, if you're meditating on Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he's your deity, then instead of immediately going back to Godhead, you wait until the end of the life of Brahma. Then you obtain the Lord. But it depends. If your process is the same as Brahma, when he leaves and obtains the Lord, yes, you obtain the Lord, but when he comes back, you come back also. Right? So Krishna's recommending is that one goes beyond the understanding. In other words, simply the process of self-realization as it is connected with the Purusha avatars. Because the never forget Krishna means that we are attracted by Krishna in the form of the Purusha avatars, but we don't know we are. That's the illusion. We think it's dead matter that's attracting us, when it's the Purusha avatars that are attracting us. So our relationship is with them. Then he says, I as a person am beyond that. So that gets us into the spiritual world, because Krishna beyond that is in the spiritual world. Yes? Here, Brahman and Paramatma realization, they're recommended as the first stages of Krishna consciousness. Because point is, you first have to become conscious. So that can be trained whether one is interested in devotional service or not, right? Someone who's successful in the world, it's because they're conscious, right? You know, it's just like you have those, the martial arts school or something like that, these old ancients, you know, you see in, you know, some movie or something like that. They practice on top of poles. So if they miss the pole when they're walking, they're stepping and doing the, they'll fall down. So they become conscious. That's why they become good at it. Because if you're good at anything, you have to be conscious. Right? If you make a mistake in something, it's where you are not conscious. Right? The guy gets knocked out in a fight from the what he didn't see. What he was conscious of doesn't knock him out. What he's not conscious of, that's what knocks him out. So the whole point is it's according to you. First you have to be conscious. Then you have to be God conscious. Right? So God conscious means you understand how God is in everything. Like that. Does that make sense? So, like that, then you can see God everywhere and everything. But at the same time is that what God that you're seeing everywhere and everything, where is that form originally from? That's from Krishna. Right? So, him in his pastimes. This is a side pass. This is like a sideshow of the main show of the spiritual world. This is a sideshow for those who aren't interested in the main show. And so the sideshow is such that someone can only see the external, the material aspect of it. Someone can see the spiritual aspect of it. But someone can also see the devotional aspect of it. Right? So that's the perfection of the sideshow. The main show is only for those who see God as a person and interact with Him as a person. Like that. So that's the point where this is being made. So it's being brought out. Because second canto has already established how to see God in everywhere and everything. And Prabhupada again and again in the purports is saying that this is what someone who's connected to the material world, especially grihasthas, have to do. The second canto of Bhagavatam is how to connect all the things you're attached to. Right? So, but it works for everyone. Brahmachari, sannyas, they're attached to less. Still a process work. Grihasthas are attached to more. They have to use this process. But it's not your ultimate goal. So it's not even Shantaras is the problem. You know, Madhavendrapuri is Shantaras. So we start with Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumara. So the Kalpa Drumara is Madhavendrapuri. That's then Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Deva. Then they come. So first is the sthan, then is there. So the sthan is shanta. So it's not a problem. But it's so the problem is not shanta, the problem is his pastimes. Is one interested in the Lord's pastimes? Right? So, but one can't just jump. If one can jump, great. That's the first recommendation. But it has to be constant. If it's not constant, then when one is not on that platform, then one has to take advantage of the Paramatma and Brahman understandings of the Lord to see Him in everything so that we can extricate ourselves from the material consciousness. Having done that, but our goal has to be Krishna as a person. Is that okay? Okay. You had something to ask? Okay, yeah, so what's this to speak on? The point is that coming in from the angle of Prabhupada being Shaktivesh Avatar, so he gives special dispensation. So he says when somebody has to dedicate oneself to Krishna consciousness, then one at the end of life, even if one's not perfect, Lord Chaitanya will come and he will make everything perfect. Yeah, dedicate one's life to pushing on. Yeah, no, that is the central point. Now, the point is how do you define dedicating your life? That's where the point comes. So, is dedicating your life, I sit in some suburb somewhere, and I pontificate about how, there is no such, what is this thing about, Vedic clothes and culture and all this and that. That's not important. It's just, whatever you are, do that and all that. And they chant and all this. Is this dedicating your life? You know what I'm saying? Is coming to the temple once a year on Janmashtami for prasad, is that dedicating your life? No connection between the example and your name there. It was not meant to say. You understand? So what is dedicating? The dedicating means that within one's heart that Krishna and that process of Krishna consciousness and pleasing Prabhupada is your main drive. It may not be perfection of your practice, just like that Brahmin who was told by his guru to study Gita, but he couldn't read. He was trying to follow the order. So you could say, well, as far as observable perfection, he wasn't anywhere close. But as far as actually understanding the mood of it, he was appreciated by the Supreme Lord himself. So the example would come from Krishna saying why he revealed everything. So it was in sincerity, Lord Brahma's sincerity, because he was trying to understand, trying to find out, he was making the endeavor. So it says dedicate your life, that means in your work is dedicated. So that means your attachments are connected to Krishna, your desires are connected to Krishna. But here I'm saying if you're not, define that if you're not perfect means maybe it hasn't come to 100%. But if that's your determination, that's good enough. Otherwise, one has to be very, very careful. I was sort of saying, oh, it doesn't matter. And then, you know, like the Hindus will say, at the end of life, then I'll become serious. But the problem is you never know when end of life is, you know. So, in other words, the point is so simple that if someone is sincere and trying to serve, you know, the spiritual master in this mission of Lord Chaitanya, then they will go back to Godhead. So the special dispensation is one life. We shouldn't take one life as standard and then simplify that, cheapen that. The Madhvas, I think, for going through the Pancharatrik process that they follow, I think, I'm not sure, it's either 7, but I think it's 14 lifetimes it takes to go back to Vaikuntha. Like that. You know, next life is progressive. But like you see, what's his name? Gopakumar. I think there it's going and through different stages and all that. I don't, it's been a long time since I've heard it. But so standard Pancharatrik process, it's many lifetimes, though progressive. It's not necessarily, it's progressive. But so we're being given one life. That's already, that is the compensation. But still, we must be sincere. We must make that endeavor. Then it will work. Is that okay? Yes, okay. Soul attitude. Yes, quoting from, Janmashtami Prabhu's quoting from, what did he say? Nectar of instruction. In the preface, and Prabhupada says it's all dependent on the attitude. So that's the point. So in other words, perfection would mean, one is that the activity you're performing is going so well that it itself produces the result. You know, either materially or spiritually. But the attitude we can see is not correct in the example given here of Brahma and Marichi. Is that the attitude's not correct. So even though they are perfect in the performance of their duties and they have attained perfection, which is liberation, they don't obtain to the eternal status of devotional service. Like that. While if one is sincere, even if one hasn't observably perfected one's processes of the combination of karma and jnana, then it still works because the attitude is right. Because rasa is based on attitude. Attitudes actually. Because means if the attitude is good, you try for a perfect situation to express the attitude. But if the situation isn't perfect, you can still express perfect attitude. That's the element of rasa. So rasa's more is the actual important element here, is the pastimes of the Lord, relation between the Lord and the devotees. So if the attitude is correct, then the whole thing is as simple as is being defined. It is that simple. We only get this technical because sometimes we become lax. You know, our sadhana is good, it's regular, we're chanting our rounds, we're going to Mangal Arati, we're attending the programs, you know, we're careful in what we eat and our prasad, and you know, we follow a regulated lifestyle. But in between that, there are times that are outside the purview of sadhana. Prabhupada once was saying about the microphone that the modern technology is so wonderful that you have to take the microphone and stick it in your mouth to make it work, right? You know. Yeah, does that make sense? In other words, everyone should be comfortable that whatever they've heard and how simply they've understood Krishna consciousness and how easy it is that easy. All these other things are given when one forgets that. The technicalities in Krishna consciousness are for when one forgets how easy it is. And one complicates one's own life in a material way. So then all these technical points are there to point out how it's not correct in this case, or in other chapters, how to engage that misdirected, non-simplistic understanding. Yeah. So you're in the Jews for Jesus category, or because you accepted Jesus saved you from your sins, but you're the chosen people. That's only the Jews. So that means then you got to be a Jews for Jesus. Yes, Jesus was Jewish. Yes. Yeah. We have to. It means, but the thing is connection to Prabhupada is based on what? What is the connection between the disciple and the guru? Follow the four good principles. What is the basis of, why do you follow the four good principles? Okay, you made that arrangement. So you've made this arrangement. Okay. But what keeps the relationship alive? Okay, but so therefore it is simply means you're following the regulative principles. That's what's keeping it alive. So it's simply that you've made an arrangement, and therefore the relationship is good. Okay, so then in this is that's nice. That's the environment in which you show your seriousness for a relationship, but actually it's not a relationship. Because a relationship is based on interaction. You know, just like the husband has provided a house for his family. But that doesn't mean he's relating to his family. You understand? Having the facilities and then doing something, they're two different things. They're connected, but they're different. Like you set up the table for dinner, but dinner is different than setting up the table. Just because I have a set up table doesn't mean everybody in the family is now satisfied they've had dinner. You have to sit down and eat dinner. So my point is you're maintaining the situation of relationship with Prabhupada, but what are you actually doing in the relationship with Prabhupada? There's nothing there. It means that you haven't mentioned anything. What do you mean by dogma? You have a dog also? You can chant in your mind. Okay. So therefore you're chanting in the mind. Okay. So you feel that just by remembering Prabhupada you're connected. Okay. Then that is a connection. Now, why is it a connection? Goal is? God is? God, yes? Okay, it's nice that we use the Shaktivesh so that we can say, well, he does things different, so therefore I can do things different. It's a nice quote, but the point is our quoting of Prabhupada as a Shaktivesh in this position is not actually in glorification of Prabhupada. It's more being used to establish our independence rather than his glory. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, why would you use it here? If we were talking about Prabhupada and his greatness and what he's done, then we say is what he's done is so great, is therefore we can see he's a Shaktivesh avatar. But here just saying, he's a Shaktivesh, therefore I don't have to do anything, and that's good enough. You know what I'm saying? So the point is when you remember Prabhupada or you chant in your mind, you're actually doing something active, what I was talking about before. But the difficulty comes is you don't see that activity actually connected to Prabhupada. It's not coming from Prabhupada because it's simply something you've done in the beginning. You know, you received the beads and you said you'll follow the principles and chant your rounds. That's good. That's the basis of the relationship. But the relationship is actually maintained by following instructions. That's what keeps initiation alive, is siksha. So without instruction, so in all the presentations, you have not connected why you're doing things back to actually the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, that's why I say the relationship is not dynamic. And only at those moments when you remember Prabhupada, you chant in your mind, you feel the connection because you actually are. But then the rest of the time when you're not doing that, because if you're there with family and friends, it's a good chance you're not always chanting in the mind. You know, unless, of course, you're a Paramahamsa and you're just, you know, doing all this for everyone's benefit. And or remembering Prabhupada, so there's a good chance that you're forgetting him at that time and the relationship is not dynamic. So there is no actual, you don't have a method to connect your family and friends and all that relation and what you do to Prabhupada because you're not following the instructions there. Only in those few moments alone when you think of Prabhupada or chant in your mind, then like that. The rest of the, as you call it, dogma, that's a secondary aspect. But in here, the primary aspect is being missed also. See, the point is if I put on a dhoti or put on tilak or do these different, you know, Hare Krishna trappings, then there's a chance that I may remember the Lord during that. Like I'm putting on tilak. What am I doing? I'm chanting the 12 names of Vishnu. I might remember him. Keshava, the Lord with the nice hair. He's got great hair. You know,